In your name we pray. Amen. Before you sit down, would you say top of the morning to you lassies and lads? Buckle up, because we have a lot of announcements this morning. The first one is our Cedar Way Envision House distribution happens this Tuesday, and I think I haven't checked this morning. There are a few more things that we need, I'm assuming. But the way that you'll know is you can get that digital list by texting the word helping to the Brookview number that is behind me. And so thank you in advance, everybody, for making that possible for us to show up consistently every single month. Also, we have life groups, and we do them in quarters here at Brookview. They're a great way to get on. And so those are not like everybody is for life in groups, and all of a sudden you're the new person that, you know, in the group that everybody's been in for their whole lives. We call them life groups because our hope is that you would be able to do life together, experience the highs and the lows, and just wrap around each other in support. And so if you feel like, I think I might want to try it, can I recommend it? I really recommend it. It is a really cool way beyond the Sunday morning gathering to be known and to feel loved and prayed for and heard. And what's that music? So do you, like, Morse code? Okay, so I should dance or something? Like, that's your subliminal message. Get in a life group. Did you feel it? Did you hear it? Okay, sorry, my screen timed out, and now I don't know what I'm saying. Okay, two Sundays from now, I cannot believe it. It is Easter, and we will have two services. I didn't say life groups. This is your last week to sign up for it. So if you are considering it, it's go time. Like, no more thinking, I might want to, you want to, and you want to grab your Connect card on your seat, or if you're watching at home, you want to go to brookviewchurch.com and fill out the Connect card there. Easter, we'll have two services. They're identical. We will have kids programming at each of them, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock a.m. And so we're excited to be able to celebrate Easter with you and with your families as well. So that's a little bit of a change from our normal 10:30 time. What's the next thing? Oh, yeah, I biffed that. Here it is. Okay, soccer club, you guys. We had to change the date of our soccer club because during the normal week that we would go is the only time that we were able to take a team of people to Ecuador. And we're really excited to be able to do that in August. But it means that summer soccer club will be July 15th through the 19th. We opened registration not last Friday, like Friday a couple. What is that? So distracting. Do you want me to change mics? Okay, just stick it out. Focus. I got this. Okay, soccer club, that's what I was talking about. Okay, not Friday, but the one before. So like 10 days ago, we opened our registration. We have 122 kids signed up for that. 13 of them belong to Brookview. So if you have not signed up, you might want to do that. We might close registration. I always say that, and yet somehow God brings enough volunteers for us to accommodate every kid that wants to come to soccer club. But I don't know. I don't know. We want to be able to love kids really well. We don't want to overcrowd our fields and the spaces that we're playing on. And so we want to be able to invest in kids. And so we do limit our registration to the number of volunteers. And so right now, we don't have enough volunteers for 122 kids. But we'll get there. Okay. What is... I just can't. I'm going to dance the rest of the announcements. Give me a beat, boys. Okay. Moving on. Okay. Last weekend, I got to enjoy this snowy weather with 8 Brookview kids and one other leader, Brooke Parishow, and we had such a beautiful time together. And someone asked me this morning, Eloise said, how was it? And I was like, I'm too old for it, especially if we're going to spring forward on a Sunday. I was so wiped out. I was like, what planet am I on? And it took me till about, I don't know that I'm fully recovered. But guys, it was so cool. We got to gather together with other Alliance churches. And just when you step away from the everyday life to pause, take a minute, and just remember what is important to you, God moves. And that was very evident in our time together. But the kids really were just, well, they won the talent show. They dominated the talent show. And they got a trophy. I don't know what we're going to do with this trophy, but let me show it to you. Yeah, you guys. And you would think that this was, like, lightweight. It's not. It fell out of my car this morning. That's why the pictures aren't there anymore. And it almost hit me in the leg, but it didn't break, except for maybe right here. All right, so if you were on the youth retreat, would you stand up? Oh, yeah, I definitely broke it. Yep. Oh, look at you guys. Yep. Okay, and then, you know, Jason shared that with the talent show that someone slayed it, earned us all the points by belching Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. And so if you were not the person, if you were not the person that belched Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, would you please have a seat? Would everybody please look? That was our fearless leader, Brooke Parishow, not Brooklyn Huguenin. So she, when she heard Jason outed her for that, she's like, Dad! So, Brooke, we pass that honor along to you, and this really is your trophy. I also wanted to just kind of shift into something a little bit more serious, and that is the reality of what is happening in Haiti right now. And you guys know that that is a place that is special to us, and that our son is living there. And they are in absolute turmoil. And if you have seen the news, it is not super inflated. It actually is what's going on. And the airport in Port-au-Prince is completely taken over by gangs right now, and it is not a safe place to be. However, where Cameron is, which is about 2.5 hours, 3 hours in the north in a city called Gonaives, and where Joshua and Ebenezer Ministry are, there is still stuff going on there, but he's safe, and he's feeling good about where he is, and him staying there is the best thing to do, because the airports and the roads are the most dangerous place to be right now. And so your continued prayers for the people of Haiti, because this is not just something that happens in this little section of time. It's something that will last them a long time, because the ports are also shut down. It causes a lot of food instability for them. And the government is talking about the potential of dropping MREs in fields in places again, which was where they were post-earthquake. There is an African coalition born out of Kenya that is going to come in, it sounds like, and do some peacekeeping like the UN did many, many years ago. But it is just in turmoil. A lack of steady government and then the gangs running the country really does need our prayers. And so thank you for those of you that have reached out to us, that have wondered how Cam is doing. I called him last night and I was like, what do you want me to say to people? He's like, I feel really good. There's no reason to dramatize it, but it is unsettling place right now, and it's hard for us to move around and do what it is that we love to do, which is teaching. And so I just want to pray for that this morning and invite you to join me in that. Dear Lord, boy, I don't even know how to pray the wisest prayer, but I know that you see this, and your heart breaks over it. and that, God, you long to step into this in some way, whether that be to miraculously bring peace, God, to move in the hearts of the Christ followers that are there, to lead and to heal and to be your hands and feet. And that, I guess, is what I pray. I pray for Ebenezer Ministry as they gather in their churches all across the country this morning. God, that you would fill them up to overflowing. God, that you would protect them. You would give them safety, but you would also give them a passion for who you are and your purpose and the reality that your kingdom is coming. It is to come. It is the hope of the promise that is on the other side of all of this. And yet, God, your invitation is for them to bring your kingdom wherever they go. So, God, would you give them wisdom? Would you equip them? Would you empower them to go, God, and to heal where brokenness is, to be creative where creativity is so desperately needed? And, God, that you would just, you would watch over it all. God, would you protect my kiddo? God, bring him joy and peace and just purpose as he is kind of stuck in the middle of all of this. And I thank you for this Brookview family that cares about what's going on in Haiti. And God, would we be your people and do what we can through the power of your prayer and lifting this up to you, God. Thank you for hearing our cries and for loving us. It's in your name I pray. Amen. I'm going to hand it off to you, Bryce.
Thank you. Good morning. Great to be with you today. And if you don't know me, I'm Bryce McFadden. I'm at a church just north of here up in Arlington, Smoky Point Community Church. I've been on staff there for 28 years. Yeah, they couldn't get rid of me. They tried. No, just kidding. And it's been a real blessing. But I want to say it's been a huge blessing for me to get to preach. Thank you, Pastor Jason, for inviting me to preach over the years. It's been 20-some years, hasn't it? Something like that, I think.
Since 2009.
2009. Oh, okay. Seems like 20 years. No, anyway, you've been very gracious and generous to invite me to come speak here. And I'll tell you what, this happens every time I drive out of the parking lot after the sermon here. You know, yeah, I think I come here to be a blessing, but I leave with a blessing. So if you didn't get the blessing, I'm sorry. I did. Absolutely. I've grown to love you people. And I know this summer saying, is this your final sermon? Well, it's not my final sermon, but it might be my final one here. I am in process right now with a church in Nebraska. Outside of Omaha, they're looking at hiring me in as an associate. I flew back there a few weeks ago, had conversation with their staff and their leaders, and probably had most of the tough questions asked at that point. Today at 4:30, we're having a formal interview. I don't even know what that's going to look like, but it's just part of a formal process for hiring. And so what I kind of picture is after the interview today, probably sometime this week, I will potentially be offered a job. I'm not trying to count chickens before they're hatched, but potentially that's the process. So if you think of me at 4:30 today, if you want to lift me up in prayer, that would be great. I would love that. But it's been so sweet to be here. And you know, I was in the worship here and just thinking about, you know, getting up here preaching and thinking about you guys. And I started to tear up and I'm like, I don't want to get emotional today, you know? I want to just pretend like this is just a sermon that I just come to preach every now and then. And I'll see you next month or whatever. But I decided I'd do this. If I start to get emotional, I'm going to think of Brooke belching. I'm just going to picture that. And I have this feeling it's going to snap me out of it. Now, if that doesn't work, I'm just going to ask if you would stand up and belch a couple times. Oh, there you go. Oh, That is awesome. Awesome. By the way, you that were on that winter retreat, you, I think, were with some youth from Smoky Point.
Yeah.
So Pastor Justin is just like across the hallway from me, and we're good friends. So anyway, that's so awesome. And congrats, Brooke. You truly, you truly deserve that. It looks like a trophy that came, got stolen from the Olympics or something. I don't know. Anyway, when I was a teenager, my great aunts came to visit from Ireland. And so I met them for the first time they had been to the U.S. And they were these tall ladies, and of course they had the Irish accent. And it was really sweet to meet them. When we were saying goodbye, they would not say goodbye. They said, no, we say cheerio. Cheerio means till we meet again. So I'm not saying goodbye. I'll say cheerio, okay? And I fully expect to be back in Washington State. I've got two married kids out here, and even more important, I've got two grandchildren. Oh, I hope my kids don't watch this. Anyway, I'm going to be back to visit, and I fully expect to come visit Brookview. All right? So I hope to see you. Thanks. Cheerio. I've loved being a pastor. I think, you know, I could stand up here this morning. There's an old song called Count Your Blessings, name them one by one. And I could stand here and count blessing after blessing. And take you down memory lane over the years of ministry. I'm not going to do that today. I've got, a challenge for you, and I hope God speaks through that. I've loved being a father. I taught my children to pray when they were young. We would pray at bedtime. That was kind of a ritual in our home. I would pray with them before they headed off to school in the morning. But I love to hear children pray. And I have a feeling that often when children pray, God smiles. I have a son. He's now 30. My oldest is 32. My son Austin lives in Denver, Colorado, and rightly so. He's a very outdoorsy guy. He loves to hike, loves to ski. And he is one of those guys that always sees God's hand in creation. It's so evident to him. And I remember on one occasion we were on a family hike, and the sun was filtering through the evergreen trees, and it kind of looked like angel wings in there. And my son Austin goes, oh, Dad, this is so beautiful. Let's stop and thank God for creation. So as a family, we held hands in a circle, and we thank God for creation. One night, I'm saying bedtime prayers, and I suggested to my children, my four kids, that we just go around and say sentence prayers, thanking God for something. And so as we began our prayer time, my son Austin goes, Dear God, thank you for creation. And then my other kids go with their sentence prayers. And then Austin speaks up again and he goes, Dear God, thank you for creation. My other kids go on in prayer a little bit. And then Austin says again, he goes, Dear God, thank you for creation. And my third born son, Tristan, speaks up and he goes, Dear God, I pray that Austin won't say thank you for creation again. I think it's stuff like that that makes God smile. I want to look at a prayer today written by the Apostle Paul to a church that he dearly loved, the Church of Ephesus. He planted this church on his second missionary journey. Speaking of missionaries, okay, I wasn't going to say this, but somebody sparked my thinking on this morning. St. Patrick, by the way, is just not somebody that we think about this time of year, that we think of the color green and, you know, Lucky Charms and all that kind of stuff. Honestly, St. Patrick was one of the greatest missionaries. He was actually Welsh, and he was captured by raiders when he was young, taken back over to Ireland as a slave. Years later, he escaped, went back to Wales, and in a dream, felt God saying to him, you need to take the gospel to Ireland. And that's exactly what he did. And honestly, he evangelized that country in an incredible way. So when you think of St. Patrick, he is truly a missionary. Now, we're talking about the Apostle Paul today, who equally and probably even greater was a missionary. And he had planted this church in Ephesus, And on his third missionary journey, he spent 2 to 3 years ministering with these people. And you got to think, 2 to 3 years spent with these people, their relationship grew. They had a deep, deep love. And that was formed in a very sweet relationship. And we see in Acts chapter 29, when the Apostle Paul on his third journey was leaving Ephesus, he knelt down with the leaders of that church and they prayed together and they wept and embraced. And there was some added factor in that because Paul had prophetically told them he would never see them again. He knew that persecution was coming. He actually pens this letter while he's in a prison in Rome and writes this letter to the Ephesians. And he actually includes in this letter 2 prayers. The first one we find in chapter 1. The one we're going to look at today is in chapter 3. I titled this message So Much More because if there's an overarching theme to this passage, it's the fact that our unlimited, powerful God offers his unlimited resources to you and I as the church. Our unlimited, powerful God offers his unlimited resources to you and I as his church. And God is not finished with his plans for the church. He's not finished with his plans for your life, your family, this community. He has so much more. And as I thought, what would I want to leave you with today? What would I say to you, my family? So I want to look at Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll start off with verses 14 and 15 in Ephesians chapter 3, Paul's second prayer. He says this, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name." For this reason, obviously he's referring back to something he just said earlier, and he's just been talking about the mystery. The mystery is the fact that the gospel is not just for the Jews, the Gentiles are included. And as a result, everything that God is giving out in spiritual riches and resources, he's not only just giving them to the Jew, but the Gentile as well. They are included in Christ. But he kneels before the Father. We see this posture of prayer. There's humility, there's submission, there's adoration. But he says, "I pray before my heavenly Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives his name." Now, in a sense, he's using Father in kind of universal language here. Father, as Father, he is the origin of everything that exists. So on a grand scale, he is the Father of everything. At the same time, we know that when we enter into a relationship with Jesus, inviting him to be our Savior, John 1:12 says we become the children of God. In Ephesians chapter 1, he tells them you've been adopted as sons through Jesus in accordance with his pleasure and will. And now we are family in a new kingdom. We're fellow citizens of God's household and really part of a much larger family. And not only just believers all around the world, but then he talks about our heavenly family. That's kind of interesting. Well, when I think about the heavenly family, I think, well, that would include those that have gone on before. But then there's more up there in heaven, too. There's angels. If you read in the book of Revelation, there's those creatures around the throne. Did you know you have extended family in heaven, and you're going to meet them one day? It's kind of interesting. It talks about his heaven here on earth and as well our heavenly family. And God is Father. Now, Paul's going to get specific in his prayer. And really, this prayer is one complete prayer, but there are 4 specific requests to these sweet believers. And what separates each distinct request, there's a key word, that. So he'll go, "I pray that," or "so that." You'll see what I mean when we get into it, okay? So here's the first part of the prayer in verse 16. He says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Now remember, God has unlimited resources. He says, out of his glorious riches. In chapter 1, he says, unsearchable riches. "But that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." What does he mean by that? You don't have to say, sometimes our prayers sound more like sin management or moralism, outward change. God, please help Joe stop drinking. We're referring to Joe's behavior. God, help my teenager not to be disrespectful but obedient. We're talking about behavior. Help me to live better. Sounds like behavior. Paul is not praying for behavior modification at all. He's talking about something that comes from the inner being, not something outward. And really, I think this is a prayer that might echo and join well with God's intention through the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel 36. He says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. There's a movement internally that God does in your inner being that actually causes you. That impulse to follow him doesn't come from you. It comes from God living internally, strengthening your inner being. It's a transforming work that God begins. And it begins to actually change the way that we think and the way that we act. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says this, therefore we do not lose hope, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. It's this inner renewal that God, by his Spirit, giving you strength for each day, and really in a practical way, it's a strength that gives you strength to withstand pressure, to endure through discouragement, to make comebacks out of setbacks, that presses on when difficulties come. And why? Because our strength is from a deeper source. We're strengthened from our inner being by the Spirit, supernaturally renewing us. The prophet Isaiah talked about this when he said, they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. My prayer for you is that God would grant you supernatural inner strength as you rely on him, giving what you need each and every day, every moment, every circumstance, finding his mercies tailor-made and new for each morning. So when challenges and disappointments, temptations, discouragements, and we know they happen, they come. When they come your way, may God strengthen you in your inner being, giving you victory in the battle. There's more. Verse 17a. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. As a New Testament believer, we know that the Holy Spirit takes residence in us when we invite Jesus to be our Savior. In fact, our body is referred to as the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. But what does Paul mean when he says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith? That word means dwell, take up residence, be at home. You know, I think he's talking in some experiential language here. That the dwelling of Christ in us would be a continuing experience as we are strengthened in our inner being, that we would experience the continuing presence of Jesus in our life. I know that we often associate feelings and love. Like love, you know, I was thinking of a song. I know a lot of you weren't even born yet. 1968, B.J. Thomas, Hooked on a Feeling. It all links this feeling and love. It's common to think that we think with our minds and we feel with our hearts. And yet when we talk about the heart biblically, we're talking about desires. Not feeling, desires of the heart. I think in some ways Paul's prayer here is really a prayer about God shaping our heart desires. And really, biblically, we know that God's desire is to change our desires so that we desire less of the things of this world and more of his desires, so that his living within us would be a habitation in which he is quite comfortable, a dwelling in which he is pleased, that Christ would form the desires of our hearts. And you know what I have to say? It's really a process. when God forms the desires of our hearts. I've talked with some of you. I know some of you have done some home remodeling. I did some remodeling in the last 2 to 3 years. That seemed like a COVID thing to do. You know, it's so cool. When you remodel your home, what you're really doing is you're making the home more comfortable, a place that you actually enjoy even more. And for me, one of the big things I did was I knocked out a wall between my living room and the kitchen. And all of a sudden, and vaulted ceilings, all of a sudden I have this huge expanse. And frankly, it's just much more comfortable. Of course, I'm from Montana. I like wide open spaces, you know. I kind of picture that as the process of Jesus remodeling our hearts, making a spacious place for him, a place where he feels most at home. And where he feels most at home, he is most glorified, and we are most satisfied. My prayer for you is that you would supernaturally be strengthened, that Christ may dwell in you in such a way as he forms the desires of your heart, that your desires become one with his, and you experience his presence again and again in a very profound and significant way, that we experience the indwelling presence of Jesus in our hearts. But there's more. Verse 17b to 19a, and I pray that, there's the word again, I pray that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. You know, what's interesting about this verse is it seems like Paul is asking us to know what is unknowable. But now I think he's using the language of experience again. How many have been to the Grand Canyon? Now you look at the expanse of the Grand Canyon, and you can experience it. There's something about that experience. But could you ever capture that experience in words? I can't. It's almost like, well, this is a sloppy illustration, but I'll give it anyway. You know, do you notice when you take a picture, you see a beautiful scene, and you take a picture with your phone camera, and you never get the same experience off your camera that you do in person? I kind of feel like that's in some similar fashion here. Paul is saying, I want you to experience the love of Christ that is totally beyond fully explaining. It's so large of a concept. It's so big and huge to really try and understand with our minds, but you can experience it. It's a love that surpasses knowledge. It can't be weighed on a scale, measured by a tape measure, produced in a chemistry lab, but it's something we can all experience. And he talks about being rooted and grounded. Like a tree that sends its roots deep into the soil, we can be rooted and nourished in the love of God. Like a building that has a strong foundation, we can be firmly established in God's love for us. So what's Paul saying? I want you to know with a solid, confident certainty that God loves you. I want you to comprehend that. No, you can't exhaust the kind of love that God gives you in Christ, but you can let it anchor you to what is certain and solid, trustworthy, and true. Be anchored in the love of Christ. I love that Paul includes these dimensions. It just kind of leaves it hanging out there. How wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. There's no cap on this kind of love. It's a boundless love. It's a love that we sing about that never gives up and never runs out. An unfailing love. I want you to experience that kind of love, Paul is saying. You know, when you think about it, it's an amazing love. It's a love that's wide enough to reach the whole world. It's a love that's long enough to stretch right into eternity. It's high enough that we've been raised to heavenly places in Christ and have all the spiritual resources that we need. And it's deep enough, no matter how far you've fallen or strayed away. This love is for you. It's for me. What an incredible love. There's something else in that, though. He uses this little phrase, together with all the saints. This isn't to be an isolated experience by the family. It's a combined experience. It's a shared experience. It's essential that we experience this kind of love in community, together. And you have to think, Paul's earlier conversation about the mystery, the Jews and the Gentiles now all being incorporated together in the same family, sharing the very love of God with each other. My prayer for you as a family is that you would be anchored in God's love for you, that you would live out that immeasurable love with one another, and that this church would be known as a church that knows how to love. They love God, they love each other, they love their community, they love their neighbors, and they love even the unlovely. Because that's the kind of love God loves with, and it never runs out. That's rich, rich stuff. One more. 19b says that, keyword again, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. We don't use that language too much, filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It almost sounds like Paul's trying to pour out God's resources in prayer for these Ephesians, but honestly, it's like trying to pour the ocean into a bucket. There's so much. There isn't really any skimping, rationing, or limiting from God's part of it, but he wants to fill them to the measure of all the fullness of God. Well, we can't be filled to the measure of God's fullness, but we can be filled to the full measure of our own capacity and to the degree of our surrender. Dependence and surrender increase our capacity for the fullness of God. Someone said it this way, it's not so much of how much of God you have, but how much God has of you. So what does it mean to be filled to the measure of the fullness of God? I think it's a reference to growing maturity. In fact, Ephesians 4:13 says it this way, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's really a prayer that God would increase his capacity in us for his fullness to be expressed in our life in such a way that it looks more like Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. It's a continuing process, never completed in our lifetime, but we are to be increasingly looking more like Jesus, filled with more of his love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his kindness. And why do we need his fullness? Well, we're containers that often leak. We need the continual filling of God in us. If we're maturing in Christ, I can say this, we're not going to remain the same. We're going to look different. We're not going to be just a better version of ourselves. We're going to look more like Jesus. Let me summarize the prayer for you. Number one, may you be strengthened in your inner being as you learn to live by the power of the Spirit. Number two, may you be changed in your heart desires as you experience the very personal presence of Jesus. Number three, may you be anchored in the deep love of Christ as you express your love for God and each other. And four, may you be filled to capacity with the fullness of God as you grow in maturity, becoming more like Jesus. That's Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, and that's my prayer for you as well. I want to close with this story. I've seen God do amazing things over the years as a pastor. I've had the privilege of praying with many people as they put their trust in Jesus. I've walked with many people through the celebrations of life and also through the trials and hardships and losses and grief. And all of it's been an honor and a privilege for me. to share that journey with them. I realize when I'm walking through the valleys with people, I'm walking on sacred ground. I've spent untold hours in pastoral counseling. That's why my hair is the color that it is. I've listened to stories and witnessed God at work, changing the storyline of despair to writing new chapters of hope. I will never cease to be amazed at the gracious, patient, and loving work of God. I've counseled many troubled marriages. I have to say some troubled marriages remind me of a car that's running on its last fumes on its way to the mechanic shop. It's coughing and it's sputtering, barely making it there. I remember one such couple that wound up in my office, and right off the bat, I knew this was one unhappy couple. Body language kind of said it all. The husband, as he came in, I could tell he had been either coerced or forced to be there. He sat in the chair and actually turned away from me with a scowl on his face, not even looking at me, as his wife began to pour out the story of his overbearing and unloving behavior, which wasn't hard to imagine, given this guy's attitude. And by the way, he was 6'5 and over 300 pounds. I found out later that after the session, they were no sooner out of my office, they were walking down the stairs, and he turned to his wife and he said, "I don't like that guy, and I'm never going back there again." By the way, that's not the first person that said that over the years. Though the office visit seemed quite hopeless, I did put out an offer to him that day. I told him, I said, "If you want to work on your marriage, I'm willing, more than happy and willing to help you." Frankly, I wasn't expecting a reply. He called me a few days later and he said, "I want to try." He said, "I guess my wife and my children are really more important than my own pride." And we began to meet. God began to soften his heart, and in a very profound way, he totally yielded to Christ, deciding to put him first. One day after I had preached in the weekend services at Smoky Point, his wife approached me after the service and shared how that very morning her husband had leaned over during the service and whispered in her ear, "I love that guy." She then told me about the changes she had been seeing in her husband that were so incredible. And so she told me that she decided to write a note one day and stick it in his lunchbox. The note said this: "I notice the incredible changes that God is making in your life. In fact, I don't even know who you are anymore, but I love it." Isn't that wild? "I don't even know who you are anymore, but I love it." What was happening? God was filling this husband with the measure of the fullness of Christ, making him look more like Jesus than himself. That is the work of God, who supernaturally supplies all that we could ever ask or imagine. We don't produce this. God does. I love what pastor and author Francis Chan says in his book, Forgotten God. He said this: "I don't want my life to be explainable without the Holy Spirit. I want people to look at my life and know I couldn't be doing this by my own power. I want to live in such a way that I'm desperate for him to come through, that if he doesn't come through, I'm done." Is that the kind of life you want? That's the kind of life I want. I want there to be things about my life that are not humanly explainable. That's why I'm open to following God to a new position in ministry, because God takes us places where we need him in a greater and more desperate way. He delights to show up and make his presence known to accomplish that which cannot be humanly explained but makes a difference for all eternity. I want to say a big thank you to Pastor Jen and Jason and Jen and the whole team. As you minister here, those that serve in the back, those on the worship team, it's been great to be a part of you, because I look at it as team ministry. It's not just me coming here to preach. It's everything included. I want to thank you as a church for just your kindness, acceptance, and friendship and encouragement to me. It's been wonderful. So thank you. I love you. I will pray for you. And I will always remember my time here at Brookview as one of God's incredible blessings to me. One more thing. This prayer includes a beautiful blessing. It's right in the passage right here. And I took it out of the Bryce Revised Version. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in Brookview Church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you.
So good. This is going to be too long to have the mood music through the whole thing. Stay up here. If worship team, you guys stay up. Will you turn the house lights on? And the rest of you, will you take a seat? So Jen and I moved, you know, down to this area to plant the church 2002. And I was a new lead pastor. And one of the things that the Christian Missionary Alliance required was that I get mentors in all kinds of things. Like a ministry mentor to talk about ministry stuff, and then a theological mentor to talk about theology and make sure that I was not leading you guys straight to hell. So but I was brand new to the Alliance, and I didn't know anybody, so I picked this guy to be my theological mentor. He was old, and I was like, he must know his theology. And after we met up a couple of times, and I was like, you guys, I had to fire him. I was like, nope, this is not working. You're focusing on peripheral stuff. This is not helpful. You're giving me way too much to read and do, and I'm trying to lead a church and all that. And I had met Bryce, and I was like, I like this guy. And I was like, would you be my theological mentor? And so Bryce and I had met at an event. He was like, no problem, man. So we met up and had coffee for a couple of years, and at that time, we had a young guy in our church that wanted to be a pastor. His name was John Lindo, if any of you go that far back. And he was preaching, and we were giving him, anytime I wasn't speaking, we were giving him those opportunities. He's now doing really well. He's the lead pastor at a church in West Seattle, and he happens to be in a Christian Missionary Alliance church, so I run into him all the time, but it wasn't until 2009 where I was like, John wasn't around anymore, and it was like, didn't have anybody, and Bryce was willing to come down, and I was hesitant to ask him to come speak at Brookview because he's got a full-time gig up in Smoky Point, and all these sermons that he does for us are in addition to his, like, real normal ministry job he has. So I counted up this morning, how many times has Bryce spoken at Brookview? 24 times since 2009. So, you're such a vital part of this family. And the reality that we didn't, at many times in many seasons of the church, we didn't have somebody in-house that was gonna make sense. And your willingness to come down from Arlington again and again and again and pour into these people, it just was really needed. And I needed a break, and they needed to hear from someone else. And you're just the soft-spoken, when he speaks, can you not just feel that he loves you when he's doing it, that he's humble? And so, man, I'm so, so grateful. So what I want to do is just invite you up here, and I want to have the worship team kind of wrap around you and lay hands on him. And then if in the church, if you just extend a hand out, and we want to just pray for your next thing. You said no tears today. Brooke, where are you? Absolutely. God, I just thank you for Bryce, and I thank you for the years and years, 15-ish years of him coming here and investing in the people here, investing in me, and just being this consistent, predictable voice of love and truth and grace all packaged together. And as he thinks about the next season of relocating to Nebraska and all of that, the beauty of all of this is that wherever he goes, there you are. That you're in him, you're filling him, you will use him. And I just pray for that transition for him. Pray for his interview at 431st, that he gets the job. But assuming that he does, because we know how amazing he is. God, would you use him in incredible ways to bring his experiences and the different things that you've showed him over the years to people in Nebraska? Would you surround him with family there, with love, with people that are brothers and sisters to him? And God, would you just make it a sweet, sweet thing? And as the transition happens, would you help him to lean on you more and more? Would you fill him with your spirit? Would you wrap your arms around him and give him peace? And would you give him just friendship? I think about making a move like that, and so many people here who know how incredible he is, they don't know that there yet. And so would you make that obvious to them quickly? And if someone stands up and says, I don't like that guy, would you very quickly turn him into the guy who says, man, I love that guy? Would you give him family? Would you bless him? In Jesus' name, amen. So with that today, I would just say if Bryce has been special to you, we're not saying goodbye. We're saying cheerio. Pip, cheerio. And he will be back. I mean, his kids are here. His family's here. His community's here. We will see him. I'm sure he'll be in speaking at Brookview at some point. You got to tell me when you're coming. But for those of you that, you know, you've been touched by him in some way over the years, grab him, say so, or at least just say thank you on your way out. So that's it, unless you got something more. Do you have something more? Nothing at all? Okay. God bless you. Have a great week.